Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, what's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Waveform. We're your hosts. I'm Marquez Brownlee.
And I'm Andrew Manganelli.
And that's our intro still.
Yeah.
That's it.
We were talking about this the other day. Like, I feel like, I guess I mostly think of intros as like Austin as like, hey, guys, or Phil DeFranco's. Like,
that was not nearly enough, hey, guys, sorry, to be an Austin intro.
Hey, guys.
There it is.
Okay. yeah. I don't think, we think our intro is kind of boring.
Well, I have the MKBHD video intro, which is pretty clean right now. Mm-hmm. You recognize the, hey, what's up, guys, MKBHD here.
Yeah.
But for the podcast, maybe we should come up with like a different intro. Maybe we should have people on Twitter just give us ideas for an intro for the Waveform podcast.
Yeah, help us out. We need something a little more unique. If it can roll into something about Waveform or about tech, like that would be awesome. But we just want to... a cooler intro. We like the music already, by the way. Cameron Barlow sent us that episode one, and we found it and fell in love with it. But let's get a new intro.
What's up, guys? Welcome to Waveform. Let's form the wave.
Please help us. You can see our brainstorming has been going really poorly so far. So
we'll figure it out.
Thanks. If Twitter, WVFRM, let us know what it should be.
All right. I guess we'll go right back into recap. We always go over the past couple videos since the last episode, and we have our big three since the last Waveform, which was S20 Ultra, Mac Pro, and Xiaomi Mi Mix Alpha.
Yeah, I think last episode we talked like about Samsung nonstop, so let's give everyone a break.
If you want to watch that, it's the 18-minute long full review video of the highest-end S20 Ultra. I just started using the regular size S20 today as you start listening to this. But the S20 Ultra being the flagship, the highest end phone that people expect the most out of, I think generally people were feeling like, and I don't blame them, you want like a perfect phone for $1,400 starting price.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously there is no perfect phone. So every single little thing that's a little bit wrong with it or not quite the best, you tend to feel like, oh, that's such a letdown. You know, it's not the best camera in any phone. It's not the absolute longest battery, but it's got a lot of things going for it. So I think people who watch the review will get a pretty good understanding of all the ups and downs.
Yeah, for sure.
So that's the S20 Ultra. We also had the Mac Pro review finally. And the Mac Pro it's a tough thing to review. Also, The Verge also just came out with their Mac Pro review this week.
Did you watch it?
Yeah, they kind of came out from a different angle, but it's the same.
I liked the angle they said they were going to go for.
Yeah, because the problem you have with the Mac Pro is there's a bunch of different specs. We've talked about this with the iMac Pro and with the MacBook Pro, but there's a bunch of different specs, and with the Mac Pro with dramatically different prices.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost impossible to just review the Mac Pro when someone might get the base Mac Pro, someone might get the 16 core with 92 gigs of RAM, someone might get the $40,000 28 core Mac Pro. Mm-hmm. How do you review all of these things? My original idea, which we didn't end up getting to do, was gonna be to like review it from the perspective of like five different ideal people to buy a Mac Pro, like the YouTuber, the Final Cut editor,
the Redditor,
the professional internet commenter, you know, a bunch of different perspectives, and to sort of get expertise from other people who do have different workflows for me, because I'm not a After Effects editor, pro photographer, or developer, or any of that. So it would be cool to get those different people, but that's what The Verge did. So we can link their review down below. But our Mac Pro review was just coming from my perspective, which is I'm a Final Cut editor. I'm not the perfect candidate for like an Afterburner card yet, but it might be upgraded to take advantage of that later.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very CPU and GPU intensive workflow when I'm in the workflow.
Yeah.
So we went over all that.
And that it's future proofed. Like it might be overkill, but you're ready for this. It's modular. You're ready to have this for a very long time.
Yeah, I'm hoping to. I think I mentioned at the end, I want to have this for a decade, and that sounds insane to have one piece of tech for a decade.
Sounds bad for the channel too, because it's less content to make.
That's true, but like if any one piece of tech is equipped or able to be modular enough to last a decade, it's this desktop computer. So I'm hoping that actually happens.
Hopefully, yeah. And then there was one other thing we saw a lot of comments on, which I think was a fun little behind the scenes snippet here, but there's one shot in the review, if you watched it, where Marquez is raising his hands up and the case seems to float up with it. And there's lots of speculations as to how we did it.
Are we revealing that?
I think we should reveal it. That's what the podcast is for, right? Weird tippets, little snippets we do from behind the scenes kind of stuff.
If I hadn't been involved in making it and I just watched it, I think I would have just thought we'd put the case on the Mac Pro and reverse the shot.
Yeah, and we tried that.
Right.
It just didn't look like, as if you didn't put it down perfectly, like level, like one side started and then it didn't really slide very well. And it never hit the bottom like evenly and was uneven in terms of speed. It would like start falling really fast and then really, really slowly at the bottom. So we couldn't, and we were like adding in camera movement too. So we couldn't do some weird green screen. I think a lot of people thought fishing string, but like,
Is that even strong enough?
Yeah, I don't think you could do fishing string clear, like the test line enough that's like, would be able to pull that without seeing it.
Have we ever used fishing wire for a shot? Maybe one shot ever?
I don't know if we have.
Because we bought fishing wire.
Yeah, I remember we bought it.
I have a bunch of it, and I think we've tried using it before and then figured out like we could tape something or use some other adhesive somewhere, double-sided tape.
We thought we could use, but I can see it on the cart right now.
Yeah,
and
we have some.
It looks brand new.
Yeah.
So what we finally wound up doing is we grabbed a suction cup car mount. So we have like this two suction cups linked together into like an arm that you could probably put something bigger than like a GoPro on. I would say maybe like an RX 100 or like at best maybe like an A7.
If you're feeling
If you're feeling very bold. But we basically suction cupped it to the back. I kneeled down behind the table and just kind of pushed it up using the suction cup. So that way we didn't damage it at all. That was actually the one we have to send back. So we couldn't do anything that would actually like cause any deformities to it. So two suction cups I pushed. If you look really closely, you can actually see my shadow kind of like.
Were you pushing up or pulling down?
Pushing up.
Really?
Yeah, it's the right.
I thought we used the shot we used. I'm not sure which one it was, but I thought it was a reversed shot where you assisted the downward motion of the Mac Pro with the suction cup.
I'd
have to go back and look into it.
I thought because the way the camera moves is Vin going from down to up.
Right.
And I feel like coming up to down would be a harder,
harder
like fluid movement to get it to feel like going. I'm not sure.
We probably
now I don't know. We don't even know. So yeah, I think we tried both, but I think pushing up worked the best because I remember my shoulder being oh man, this starts to hurt after. It's not light.
Yeah, it's a heavy shell of the Mac Pro, but that's how we got the shot, is that we made a plunger out of a video tool.
Yeah, all this like camera magic you guys think we're doing is usually actually pretty simple in the background. It just is hard to think of the idea.
But practical effects.
Yeah.
Practical effects.
Always works the best. All right, what else did we do? Mi Mix Alpha?
That was it's just a wild phone. Yeah. I'm really glad we live in an age where those weird concept phones in like 2005 where we were like, what if the future of phones was this insane thing from the movies?
Yeah,
I'm glad we're actually kind of trying it.
We're
now.
That's what's crazy to me, is like we're holding them in our hands. We see all these crazy renders from like on Twitter of like the new iPhone and stuff, and you know they're like rendered and stuff like that. So we're getting to this point where we're filming stuff like this and you're holding it and you're like, this looks fake.
Right.
All of this looks fake. I can't believe the audience thinks this is real, but I can't believe it's real because I'm holding it in my hand right now.
I remember when we were shooting with it, because we got this Mi Mix Alpha, and if you've seen the Mi Mix videos before, this is always where Xiaomi pushes their design to the limits. I remember the first Mi Mix video, which I think there's maybe 6 million views on that video too. It's just people getting really excited about bezel-less design.
Uh-huh.
So this is where they do that. So the Mi Mix Alpha is this wraparound screen all the way to the back. And I remember as we were shooting this video, I just kept looking at the footage like, this doesn't really look real. Like it almost looks like I'm clickbaiting my own eyes. You know what I mean? It doesn't look right. But the more we shot with it, the more my brain got used to this being like a real phone.
Yeah, actually, I went home that night and Claire asked me what we did at work. And I was like, I don't know how to like explain this phone fully. So I just said, she didn't know, she's never heard the term like screen to body ratio, so I explained that to her and I was like, all right, your phone is, she has a OnePlus 5, so her screen to body ratio is probably like 70%.
75, sure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I was like, yours is like 75%. My pixel is like 80%. What if I told you we shot a phone that was 180%? She's like, does like the screen fold on top of itself? And pretty close.
Somewhat. Something like that. To be honest, it wasn't the most practical idea. Like,
not at all.
Right off the top, it looks amazing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when something looks amazing like that, you sort of forget about the practicality of it. And the practicality trade-off is you are always touching screen when you're holding it. And that's a really big challenge for engineering, for software. And so, yeah, as we were using it, you know, they gave us the phone. They were like, you know, it's a functional prototype. Don't judge it too hard. This isn't a final product. Yeah. This isn't something we're shipping. You know, this would take a lot of software updates to get right. But even as I was using it, I was like, this is never.
Even if that phone was perfect, yeah, there's like so many weird things you would have to change of just using a phone that was all screen all the time. Linus could literally never use it. It would be broken in like a day.
Oh, you can't drop that thing.
Yeah, you can't drop it.
Best thumbnail of the year though, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's because literally the coolest thing about that phone is what it looks like when it's charging.
The charging animation. And then, like, it's so good.
Like, so yeah, if your main goal for buying a phone is when you plug it in and it's charging, you want it to look as cool as possible, the Mi Mix Alpha is for you.
If they ever sell a phone like that and that's your goal, there you have it. I don't know how much it would cost either, but that was a fun video to make.
I
mean, those were the three videos. I was super into the thumbnail and like just excited to see how people would react to it. And sure enough, people really got curious about the idea. So there you have it. All right, content we liked.
Yeah, this one, so Vin actually showed us this one. He posted in our Slack channel the other day. I'm sure most people here know who Gus Johnson is. If you don't, he's like, I don't know if I want to call it sketch comedy, but like short comedy videos. He really reminds me of, do you remember, man, I don't know if it's ProZD or ProzD, another YouTuber who makes like funny sketch things. But they remind me of it because all their sketches have like nothing to do with the other ones. You can watch them completely by themselves.
Okay.
And they're always on the front page of Reddit. Nice. Like 30 seconds to like 2 minute videos that are on the front page of Reddit.
And I'd say they're sketches.
Yeah, sketches. But so Gus did, what was the name of this? Every student film set.
It was startlingly accurate because I've been to a lot of film sets that aren't student film sets. Yeah. They're just poorly run film sets that had a lot of the quotes that he
sort of brought up that were all good. So like, I don't want to spoil it that much, but yeah, he's hit every quote. I mean, I think the one we can all assume is he just constantly says, fix it, I'll fix it in post.
I think I could probably add that in post.
We'll fix that in post. So.
Now, I don't know what that means. I don't know how to add things in post, but we'll fix that.
We'll fix it in post. So I highly recommend it. We'll put it in the show notes. It's hilarious. He has a bunch of other funny ones if you've never seen it. I think one of my favorites is he went to Subway and there was like, he's convinced that they chop the jalapenos and leave the stem part on the top. And he went to like a bunch of different Subways to see how many stems were in his sandwiches.
He bought a ton of,
Goes
in depth for it. Good job, Gus.
Watch Gus. Keep it up. If you have like an hour to kill, you could probably watch 50 of his videos and be crying at most of them. They're hilarious. So that's, that's our content of the week.
Did you hear about the bad guys not using iPhone story? This might be my favorite thing that came up in the news
This reminds me of like, they say when you go to film school, it ruins movies for you because you like start thinking about like, too much of how things are done. This is now if you're into technology, you can potentially ruin movies.
Yeah, okay, so here the breakdown is this. So you've seen product placement in movies. Uh-huh. You've seen like the Sprite can in Transformers. This is all like obviously planned stuff. Mm-hmm. You are allowed to use other products in movies even if they aren't paid for, as long as you get clearance or you get permission from the company to use their brand, because if you use it without their permission, they could sue you if they don't like the way you portrayed it. So if you show a bad guy driving a Mercedes and the Mercedes logo shows up and then the bad guy shoots somebody, Mercedes could sue you because, hey, dude, we didn't let you use our brand like that and now it looks bad for Mercedes. Mm-hmm. So Apple.
That's not a real thing. That was just an example, by the way, for everyone.
So Apple has this sort of longstanding rule where they just perennially green light, you can just use iPhones in movies, and they're cool with it. So obviously you see a lot of like ambiguous blank phones in movies, and they're trying not to show any brands, but like, we all know what phone that is.
Yeah.
Apple's like, yeah, go ahead, show the iPhone, show the Apple logo, it's cool. But if someone uses an iPhone in a movie, they can't also then go use it in a bad way and be portrayed in a negative light.
Just the character can't
The character can't be portrayed in a negative light. So your villain, your murderer, serial killer, bad guy in the movie can't be using an Apple product.
See, it's funny, like, you think about it in movies like that, like in a superhero movie, but I think of it as like, if I'm watching Law and Order SVU or something and I'm trying to figure out who the person is, like, or I don't think CSI is even on the air, but you know, kind of like a criminal TV show where you're trying to figure out who's the person that's the bad person, and I'm like, oh, it's him, and then he whips his iPhone out later.
Like, yeah,
now it's like,
it's not him.
He's not guilty.
Yeah, because those shows, you're supposed to like try to think who it is, and then 10 minutes in, you're like, maybe it's not him, it's the other guy, and then 10 minutes later, you're like, I think it's the first guy. Yeah, so now if you see someone using an iPhone,
this
in a
is
movie,
a very good chance they're not the bad person.
Yeah, they're not going to go do anything too bad later in that movie.
Congratulations, you've now had all movies and TV shows completely spoiled for you.
Sorry, a little bit. But also, it's
but it's
funny.
Also really funny, and we had to talk about it. All right. So, how about before we go into some of the news stories? If you can't hear right now, there's some beeping behind me because
you think that's legible? People hear that?
I don't know if anyone hears it, but you've probably heard in some of our podcasts. I think we get the audio pretty solid, but we're still in a big room, and we're in a big room next to a very high foot trafficked area. We've talked about the new studio plenty of times, and we're starting to move into it, which we're very, very excited about.
Yeah. The podcast studio in the whole new space that we have, and we have several spaces inside, I think that's the room that will be probably done first.
Yeah, priority one probably.
And it's going to be the one that I'm most excited to start using because our biggest issue is audio.
Yeah. I mean, like, even like, one of the things is like there's this elevator beep, and when I'm editing, I try and get rid of it, but sometimes I think it's just the elevator beep also happening while I'm editing. So
through your headphones.
Yeah, so it sneaks into the podcast sometimes. We apologize, but we're at the point we ordered flooring. I think we literally, right before recording this, got the rest of the flooring. We're also now talking to people with sound dampening products and very, very excited about that. We thought it was going to be we were mostly focused on it sounding good. Now with these people coming in, we're focused on it sounding good and looking good, which is going to be really cool. So basically what we want is we started an Instagram account, WVFRM Podcast. There's only one post over there, but go over there, follow it, and we're going to give you guys updates, and we want everyone to kind of give us some suggestions as well. Like, we want this to be awesome. We want it to be awesome for you. If we ever do a video podcast in the future, we want it to look great.
Functional.
You know us. We like high quality content. We want this to be high quality. So if you're interested in the progress we're making, if you're interested in how we're doing things, maybe why we're doing some of the stuff to make it sound good, go check us out on Instagram. I think I'm going to be spending a lot of time down there in the next few weeks building stuff. So I figured I might as well grab the account and show everyone what's happening and maybe just not bore myself to tears while I'm putting carpet in for hours and hours.
Yeah, this is a culmination of a lot of the things also that we've learned from, number one, being in the space we're currently in.
Yeah.
And number two, from other spaces that I've seen. I was on NPR a couple months ago and went up to their studio to be interviewed, and he was just looking around the room, learning things as I sat there and talked into the mic. Stuff we already have that's already set up is the double pane glass is soundproof on the outside, and there is sound dampening material inside the walls.
Yeah.
So already that room is isolated from the rest of the studio, which is isolated from the rest of the building. So it's sort of double isolated. Then we're adding flooring, as we mentioned, which is something we've already done in here, but that's going to be starting to take away the echo from the top to the bottom, the bass traps in the corners, which we've done in every room we've ever shot audio in. Then we'll probably have some ceiling stuff, and maybe not foam, maybe more of like the hanging fiberglass type of acoustic dampening.
It's something we forgot about. And then when this company reached out to us about this, the wall stuff, they had all of that. So
the rest of the site had a bunch of other good ideas.
Yeah, like we were getting ideas just looking at stuff like that. So they're sending samples. And when the samples come in, we'll let you guys see it on the Instagram page. And you can get an idea for where we're going with this. And hopefully, it would be sick if it was done in the next month. The biggest problem right now is there is still construction going on directly above it. So right. no matter how sound dampening we get the room, we yeah. can't do it till the construction's done. But if you'd like to follow along on the journey, check us out on Instagram.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a good long recap. How about we'll take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about fleets, TCL foldables, and coronavirus canceling tech events. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
This week on The Gray Area, writer Derek Thompson makes his case that everything has become a cult. Well, almost everything.
Is Taylor Swift the closest thing we have to a mass cult today?
No, I think she's the closest thing we have to Christianity. It's me.
Find out if you're in a cult this week on The Gray Area, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. So I mentioned I wanted to talk about fleets.
Yeah, and this
is— Have you seen what this is?
I have no idea. I've only seen Sam Schreffer tweet about it like 50 times in the last day, and I have no idea what it is.
That sounds like Sam. Okay, yeah. So you know how different social media sites are always testing new features and trying to figure out what they want to do, namely stealing features from each other and trying to see if they can do their best to—
Speaking of, I think LinkedIn is trying to do stories now.
Well,
I
that's
think?
A perfect segue because Twitter is now testing its own version of stories called fleets, which are tweets that disappear after 24 hours and cannot accumulate likes. So they'll just be out there in the ether for 24 hours and then disappear. And this whole disappearing thing is fascinating to me. It's like Snapchat has it, then suddenly Instagram does stories and has disappearing media, and now Facebook has stories, and now LinkedIn's gonna have stories, and now Twitter's gonna have fleets. And I guess that's another way to enable people to share, but tweets are already pretty great.
Yeah, like tweets to me feel like an in the moment, I just thought of this, I'm sharing my mind kind of thing, where it's like Instagram turned so much into like the photos became something you really preemptively think about, whereas the stories are like, this is what's happening to me. Same with Snapchat. Snapchat always was a like, I'm in the moment, I'm showing things, people, my namely my friends, what's in the moment. Then it turned into more of a social media platform. But yeah, like unpolished things. Casey almost tried to like start a whole Beam was like kind of based on that, like, totally unpolished. Yeah. But
YouTube has stories now. They disappear after 7 days.
I've literally never watched one.
So yeah, but like they all have the same philosophy, which is that you have this much more polished, curated content that you spend a lot of time on that you want to live forever. Okay. And then you just have some other things you want to share just to like share, and they'll disappear. So like, allegedly, I guess people will start thinking of Twitter this way. So you have Instagram, you spend a lot of time on your photo, you edit it, you post it, let it live forever. But also like, hey, I just went and grabbed lunch. Here's a photo of it. It'll be gone. No one really cares tomorrow what my lunch was today. Now people are going to spend lots of time on their tweets, and apparently they're already carefully crafting tweets and not making typos. and then if you want to just chuck out some typos, you know, hey, you got fleets now. Huh. They're testing it right now just in, I believe, Brazil. And there's an article about how they've been messing with it in other markets. But I found that fascinating.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. I just feel like my Instagram, like when I'm going into that, I'm expecting to look at stories. And so, like I almost feel like I enter in Instagram for two different scenarios.
Yeah.
I'm going to go watch stories and then probably get out of Instagram. Or here I'm going to like scroll through my feed.
Interesting. Yeah. I have two different modes too. Yeah. I will do one or the other. And I feel like when I wake up and I'm like checking my phone for whatever happened in the past however many hours, I start with stories, because that's more of like things that are just going on in the world.
Yeah.
Maybe people just tweeting about whatever's in the news, or not tweeting, literally just sharing what's happening.
Yeah.
And then I'll go through and scroll down and see what sports highlights happened and what other posts have been accumulating. So I guess that's the way I use Instagram, but I'm curious how people would use Twitter.
Twitter's also weird for me because I consider it on more of the, like, I don't want to say professional level, but I follow way more like news and like professional things on Twitter, companies and stuff like that, whereas Instagram is more like friends or specific people I find interesting. So like, I don't know if I want to see a bunch of stories from like political stories and stuff like that. Like Twitter, I get this mix of here's some tech stuff, here's some political stuff, which right now is like blowing up. And then I also, to me, Twitter now is kind of what Reddit used to be for me. Reddit used to be on the front page. Once news broke, I always saw it first on Reddit, and that does not happen anymore. Whereas now, if there's something breaking in the news, like weather or pretty much anything, I always see it on Twitter first.
Twitter first, yeah. I think that's probably true.
So I don't know. I feel like stories would get too clogged up with news and political stuff and not the like specific people I'm following and the like the off the cuff kind of stuff I would want to see. But
I'm way more into TikTok stories right now. I hope they make TikTok stories.
Oh, let's go.
Do you think they'll enable tweet editing if they enable fleets everywhere? Because clearly Twitter is for these
we're dead.
Polished
we're dead
pieces.
In the water, guys.
Gosh, I know. Whatever. All right.
No, it's all right. But also, can we say one more thing before we switch? There's like a lot of talk about people supporting Jack Dorsey and stuff on Twitter, and I've never had any issues with him. He won't let us edit tweets, but I don't take any super ill will towards that. I've grown to really love Twitter. It's something that I've become a part of since joining here because I felt like I needed to, and now I check it more than any other social media. I bet if you took all the social medias I check, I'd check Twitter more than all of the other ones combined.
It's interesting. Yeah. I think Twitter is one of my, if not my favorite social platform outside of YouTube. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing where I have a separate app for it on my desktop. I have a Twitter app.
Yeah.
And I don't have that for any other app on my desktop. So yeah, I'm a fan of Twitter kind of as it exists right now.
Yeah. So
unless we could edit tweets, I'd like it more.
Edit tweets, full support still on edit tweets, but we like Twitter a lot. I would be a little scared if some super big corporations came in and took over. And
please, Google, don't kill it.
Please, no one kill it. Please. Yeah. Okay, cool. What do we have next? I got sidetracked.
I was going to share. So we were talking about that Xiaomi Mi Mix Alpha before.
Uh-huh.
And in this world where we have all these crazy, wild phone concepts, TCL also, and this is just kind of like being tossed out there, has a bunch of other concepts of folding phones that aren't necessarily coming to market. One of them is a tri-fold.
I'm looking at it right now.
Mr. Mobile, if you check out that image. Has it. Literally.
We'll like, post that in the show notes as
yo,
well.
Yo, dog, I heard you like hinges. I heard folding phones were in, so I've created this.
It looks like an inchworm on the table, like it's going to crawl away from you.
You can accordion fold it in this weird way, but when you flatten it out, it's a triple pane that flats out into one big...
What I didn't
screen.
Notice, okay, okay. Here's something that's interesting. But if you're imagining right now, imagine the Samsung Fold, the first one that opens up like a book, and now almost flip it on the other side and
add another pane,
going the opposite way.
Yes.
So instead of opening like a trifold, like a menu, you're opening. This is what the Z Flip should have been if you wanted to name it the Z Flip and have the phone look like a Z, because if you fold it correctly, this will look just like a Z. But the cool thing about it is it changes the problem of not having a screen on the front of the phone when it's folded, because now the screen that makes up one third of the inside screen is the screen on the front of
it. It's the outside screen now. Interesting. Yeah.
I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to actually make something like this or if anyone's going to make something like this, but it is pretty hilarious as a phone that we can just try this stuff now.
It's interesting. I don't see any like reference to size. Like there's no hands holding it or anything. I'd like to see how big it is. It looks just like a Samsung phone on the back, or well, just like a TCL phone, but they look very similar to last year's Samsung stuff with the horizontal camera array, but
yeah.
Coming up into it, it looks like it would be hard to touch the middle. I feel like if you were totally opened, it would be more of a setting down on the desk kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. It's a tablet.
Yeah.
It's a full-on tablet.
It's a full-on tablet.
Here's the one I really like, though, is the rollable display.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can imagine, again, it's hard to explain this stuff on a podcast, but it's like an accordion that slides out and rolls the display open into a bigger screen. And yeah, then when you want to compact it, you just sort of squeeze it and it squeezes back to a normal
size. Do you notice, like, instead of saying accordion makes me think folding, imagine like a scroll. Old ancient scrolls. Yeah. And then instead of opening it where it's like you're opening it and the rolls are facing down, flip the scroll over and roll it out. Yeah. And that's what it looks like. It's just extending the screen by pulling the whole thing apart.
This is the one I hope they kind of work on. I'm the most curious about this.
I don't get where it's going when it folds, when it folds closed, like when it compacts. Where is the screen going?
So I tweeted this animation that they've shared.
Oh, it's like
it's underneath. Stretching out. Yeah, it's typically behind the screen, so looking a lot like the Mi Mix Alpha when it's closed. Mm-hmm. But if you can imagine like taking the Mi Mix Alpha and stretching the back
like
of it open.
Unrolling it.
Then that whole screen
like
that was on the back.
Like a fruit roll-up almost.
That whole screen that was on the back will come around and be the front screen, and now you have like a sort of a mid tablet
size. So what's exposed on the backside of it when that screen is
probably
now
just
is
some
that see the
metal
the
pane?
Sorry everyone, we're watching a video, so I'm trying to explain it as best as I can. On the video though, it looks like the screen is tucking underneath of something because it's showing that green part as coming up around the top, but there's a lip over it. Is the back of the phone not exposed as a screen? Is the screen coming from a channel underneath the back of the phone?
All of these are very good questions that I don't have the answers to. I mean, I would ask Michael about like his experience was not even like a working screen. It's like a, you know, fake screen on it, but just like a demo of the accordion mechanism.
I would love to even just see what that looks like.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's kind of cool. I think getting this to go from a small size to an even bigger size would be interesting because obviously the whole point of the mechanism is to give you more. It sort of starts off like a normal screen size and gets to like a kind of bigger screen.
Well, the coolest thing about that though is that it's not making the screen size of the footprint of the phone is very similar to a regular phone. Like the original Samsung Fold folded in half and then was twice as thick as a regular phone.
Oh, right.
That is the same thickness and the same size as a regular phone, but you're still getting a like 4x3 photo when it's all the way pulled out and like a big square resolution like the Fold without the thickness of it. So
I think that's why I'm interested in it.
It
has the least sacrifice.
That looks like
seems
the hardest one to pull off.
True.
But the best model, if it could work. I have no idea if that could actually work. But
hinge manufacturers, you heard what I said about you guys last time. You are the most important part of this whole concept phone coming to life project. Have a load of that one. Get a
someone's got their work cut out for them, and I already respect them for even trying. All right, so next, something in the news you may have not heard of, the coronavirus. It's not out there.
It's been on my Twitter feed once or twice.
We talked about how MWC got canceled for it. I don't want to like dive too deep into coronavirus and what if it's a pandemic or anything like that. We're just going to focus on it in this like tech aspect, but I do think all of us should be washing our hands a little more.
Safe to say nothing has really been such a topic of conversation, especially in like the most different communities I'm a part of, like quite like this. Like I go home from work and we were talking about it, and then I go to practice for my ultimate team and everyone there is talking about it. Then I go home and we're talking about it. Like everyone's
talking
about it.
That's because the first case of it is right where you practice. Or the first case around like this East Coast pops up.
That is also true. Yeah.
So that's a fun one.
So it's everywhere.
Yeah, wash your hands. Try not to touch your face. I guarantee by saying that, someone listening right now is touching their face. I do it all the time and I've noticed how much I do it recently. And if it comes anywhere close to me, I'm screwed. But
so a big downside of a slightly, you know, pandemic sort of virus is people really don't want to get sick. And the best way to do that, well, it's not a downside. That's obviously a good thing to not try to get sick.
I mean, we still go to CES every year.
And and get sick all the time. But is canceling tech events and canceling just events in general where large groups of people would all come in from all these different places, all hang out together and then all fly home. I mean, that's how you spread whatever germs, like that's what CES is, is everyone internationally flies, descends upon one convention center, mixes up for a couple days, and then all goes home. If you ever wanted to prevent the spread of a virus, you should probably stop doing that so much. So we didn't have MWC earlier this year. We didn't have Facebook's F8 conference.
Yeah,
we
that
didn't
just
get,
got canceled.
There was a game, which game conference was it? GDC?
No, there was a game development conference or something that
GDC.
Oh yeah,
that's GDC.
Sorry,
GDC got canceled.
I'm looking at our notes. Yeah, Geneva Auto Show is what I was looking at, and Google I/O just got canceled.
Go ahead and pull up isitcanceledyet.com.
It's so funny. I just saw this on Twitter before and forgot to answer or like add it into the notes. I think Como Code posted it, right? Is that where you found it?
It's just
Como Code. You're our favorite, by the way.
But it's a site where you can just go down the list and see like, hey, South by Southwest, what's the deal? It's been sort of upgraded to not sure what's going on status, but you can see the long list of things that have not happened this year. And it's given it a sort of a weird—
that are getting canceled or not. So it's like, so you just open it up, Google I/O, yes, South by Southwest, no, Microsoft Build, no, WWDC, no, the Olympics. That's not tech related, but that's going to be the big, that's going to be a tough one.
Because what is the Olympics? All people are coming from literally almost every country on Earth to one place, hanging out in one small place for a couple days, weeks, and then going
almost
home.
Quarantined into place.
Yeah.
But together, oh man, yeah. Olympics could be bad. But I think the biggest thing we're like kind of worried about, not so much worried about, but like the event we're always most excited about because of how well they do is Apple events.
Right.
And we have WWDC coming up pretty soon.
So it's a curious thing because Google I/O was canceled, Facebook F8 was canceled. Mm-hmm. Those are those two companies' biggest events of the year.
Yeah.
Apple's biggest event of the year is WWDC. And it made sense that Google is able to cancel I/O because they do so much of it remotely anyway. Mm-hmm. They have all these remote sessions. They always stream everything. And they're slowly transitioning to just holding the whole show
and
online.
And so much of it's software based also. So there's not a whole ton of like hands-on stuff there. I mean, there is, but not quite as much.
So I actually don't think it would be that big of a deal if WWDC, as much as people want to go to something like WWDC, all the developer sessions, all the classes and things like that they all host there can be hosted online and not mm-hmm. too much would be missed. But something like a product announcement where, I mean, we'd have to go all the way till September when we really expect to see something like this, but there is an anticipated March event that Apple would be holding for the new iPad and some other stuff, and perhaps a 13 or 14-inch MacBook Pro, that I don't see how you host an announcement event of hardware you want to show people without bringing people in.
Yeah.
So there's some questions about that. Also, the other thing that has been brought up, this is just something that's sort of been all over my feed, is the Geneva Auto Show was canceled, but all those companies that had stuff that they were going to unveil at the auto show, they're like, oh, all right, let's just unveil it anyway and show a press release and maybe, you know, bring some people, some video makers in to show this. Yeah. And so there's still been all kinds of new cars all over my timeline. Volkswagen, BMW, Bentley, Hyundai, McLaren 765 LT.
Oh, that's all stuff that was, wow.
That's all from Geneva and the Koenigsegg Jimera, which a lot of people have shared.
So sick.
The craziest doors you've ever seen on a car. I mean, Koenigsegg's always got these crazy dihedral doors, but 1,700 horsepower four-seater, hybrid three-cylinder, just like a wild car in so many ways.
Yeah.
All this stuff is still being released and revealed. Because they're not actual products that people can buy yet. A lot of stuff is concept cars and just stuff we want to show people. But when you don't have the physical show to bring people all over the
world to see it. Yeah, a car is something that like I would love to like, you want to step up to it and see it. It's a lot harder on video to get a good feel of things like that. Everything can look good on video, but when it comes to cars, there's so many little aspects of it that you want to just walk around the car, sit inside it, get a good feel for it. So canceling that, I feel like it's rough for content creators that want to go out to stuff like that and show their audience.
And just enthusiasts in general. Like when you consider like the type of person who might live near there or just want to go to the auto show or maybe the type of person who would just go to CES or MWC, now you don't really get that hands-on, like exciting new tech everywhere experience. You just kind of have to rely on the content.
Yeah, it also like kind of, in terms of what we're doing and how it affects us is, we weren't planning on going to MWC or South by Southwest is still apart, but like half the companies have dropped out of it already.
That's in limbo right now.
Yeah, but since these companies are planning to announce stuff at that, it really, really messing up some of the stuff we do because they had all these embargoes pretty much set for the announcement and then they completely threw them away because that didn't happen. And some of them, The Verge is talking about how they had a product that they were all ready to go with, and then they asked for when the new embargo was, and the guy said, I don't know.
Yeah, I had the same exact
We have a product that we've had for a very long time, and we're still not totally sure. I think
I have a new one.
We have a... Yeah, okay,
it's
cool.
Nowhere near the show.
The show was supposed to be a while ago.
Right, so there's a lot of questions, and I think we're all sort of figuring it out as we go, but I think, yeah, if we look back at 2020 as like, literally the first year MWC was canceled, like a whole bunch of different events had to go online only, all these questions all being spread on social media. It's really interesting, just like taking a step back and looking over it all.
So let's say, I don't think it will happen, but what would you say if this somehow lasted long enough that the iPhone event was canceled? Like, we're totally hypothetically speaking here for anyone listening. I'm just interested, what if this hit later on in the year and we're losing?
So the hypothetical is it gets all the way to September and there's still concerns about people traveling and there's a potential of canceling a September event. I think then it just turns into, and if anyone could pull this off, I guess it's Apple, but I guess it just turns into them doing a webcast, going on stage, doing their keynote in front of Apple employees only. So you still hear
people clapping.
Yeah, you hear the applause still, and they still go through everything, and they're like, "That's why we've unveiled the greatest iPhone we've ever made."
The
and everyone goes, "Wow,
bionic chip ever!"
Everyone's very excited. But then, of course, they're probably still going to try to fly in a couple people to have it, or I don't know.
Private briefings on the side and stuff like that for creators,
so that the content is still available and you're still able to get a good idea of what that phone's going to be like before you buy it. I think Apple could pull that off. I think a company like maybe a Samsung or a OnePlus could kind of pull that off. Some of them are a little less organized or a little less.
I almost wonder if
that
it would put them on a more even playing field, because Apple blows it out of the water by like just offering these. It has Apple Park, like you said in a previous episode, that the place where you shoot in is just a giant softbox. Like, everything about an Apple event is so great. So now you just put this to online.
Yeah,
it might even even the playing field. And I mean, even in the playing field, it's all just an event. It's ultimately the product that wins out. But
yeah,
it's just interesting to think about if we lost that, this hands-on as a creator, you'd lose so much creator content and people who trust creators to bring content to them, that we're relying so much more on the companies so let's just hope it doesn't come to that.
Yeah, I just really hope they are still able to get the product in people's hands, as that's the one thing I actually care about. So hopefully
ultimately it's happen. Something not to like super panic about. I think we just wanted to talk about it hypothetically here. So just wash your hands a bunch, and if you wash your hands every day, we will have an Apple event in September.
You know how to make it happen, people. There it is.
That's it. All right, let's take a quick break. Maybe go wash your hands for a minute. And when we get back, we're just going to answer a few questions from Twitter.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Gary Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from blue flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant, super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. And not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday, and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right, the Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Hi, everyone. I'm Brené Brown, and this is Unlocking Us. In this podcast, we'll explore ideas, stories, experiences, research, books, films, music, anything that reflects the universal experiences of being human, from the bravest moments to our most brokenhearted moments. Some episodes will be conversations with the people who are teaching me, challenging me, confusing me, maybe ticking me off a little bit. And some days I'll just talk directly to you about what I'm learning and how it's changing the way I think and feel. The first episodes are out now. We're going to do 3 or 4 part series every quarter, so about 12 to 15 episodes a year. Unlocking Us will always drop on Wednesdays. And now you can find me wherever you normally listen to your podcasts. You can get new episodes as soon as they are published by following Unlocking Us on your favorite podcast app. And as always, stay awkward, brave, and kind.
All right, we're back, and we're back to answer some Twitter questions. So I tweeted on Waveform, WVFRM, what do you guys want to know? What do you want to talk about? And you guys had a bunch of questions, so we'll get right into those. This is turning into one of my favorite segments. So we don't do that in the videos anymore, but you guys have some good questions.
I think what's more fun about this is it in the videos, you would answer it, where in this, it's like we can have a conversation, and sometimes that conversation gets derailed, which is kind of fun.
Perfect.
I mean, it sucks for editing later, but hey, there'll be times where I'm like, oh, is this a segment? Oh my goodness, that was a question like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, and we don't have to like edit it down or anything crazy.
Yeah.
One of the top questions I have here, do you think you will ever have to upgrade your studio again for the rest of your YouTube career / life? Yeah. And I think gut answer, yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the new crazy. Place is huge, and it's hard to think about us even moving into it right now with who
but
we
here's
have.
The thing here's mm-hmm. the thing I start and every level you look at it, it's kind of the same thing. Like when I started with one camera, I was like, this is it, I'll never need another camera. And then 2 years later, I'm like, I need a T2i. And then I'll probably never, like, literally, so this is a joke that John from TLD and I had, like, where some commenter was like, you know, you guys all shooting with red cameras, it's really overkill and everything, but YouTube compression's pretty serious. The most camera you could ever need on YouTube is a Canon T2i. And that's sort of a running joke between us. Like, you know, we don't need these cameras, right? We just need a Canon T2i.
I mean, you just use the onboard mic for it also, right?
Yeah, you're pretty much good with just the T2i and the stock lens. But yeah, sure enough, you know, a year later, I'm like, I need a 60D. Then I need a C. I don't need these new cameras, but like, what
T2i is great, by the way. If you have a T2i, That was my first DSLR.
You too?
Yeah.
I love the T2i. But yeah, the same thing happens with the studio space, where I started recording in half my bedroom. Mm-hmm. And then I was recording in my college dorm room. And then I was recording in my apartment. And then I moved to this studio space. And this 3,000 square foot empty box seemed like the end all. Like it was the biggest space in the building. I was like, I can't possibly fill this whole space up. Then sure enough, we need another space down the hall and another one next to that. And sure enough, we're expanding again.
Well, yeah, like we made it to the point where we had the two down the hall and we're like, which means we can keep the main studio space super clean and have plenty of room. Right now, I'm looking at my desk. If I turned around and walked like 3 feet, I would bump into a box.
Into
we just
a
have
new crate.
So much stuff that just comes in here right now, and we're losing room. I mean, I know it's a lot of stuff, but we actually use a lot of this, and it's to make videos feel as fresh as possible all the time. And I hope you guys all appreciate that. I think if we weren't doing that, it very quickly would look like the same thing over and over again and get boring.
Yeah. And I also think another part of that is building out the team a little bit. So when you have more people, you know, when I started in my college apartment or something, it's not like I was expecting to have other people helping me with videos in my college apartment.
Yeah. Yeah. If you hired me when you're at the apartment, it would be a little weird if I just like set up a desk at the foot of your bed.
It's a different dynamic. Yeah, for sure. So having the space means not only more room for activities, but more room for people. So that is the long answer to your question is yes. So Levi Green says, has the Tesla battery efficiency update added extra miles to your car that you've noticed? I know we haven't talked about Tesla yet in this episode, so I had to bring this up. So Tesla threw out a range update for the long range cars. The Model S long range went from, I think, 358 miles to 390 miles with a software update, just unlocking the extra optimized range. I have a performance version of the car, so I have not gotten a range update yet, and I don't think I expect to.
Okay.
But if you have a long range Model S or Model X even, you're gonna go from like 320 to 350 or 360 to 390. I haven't gotten it yet. I don't think I will. But that being said, I still get like 330 miles on a full battery now, so that's pretty good. Ooh, okay, I'm going rogue. I got another one.
Oh yeah, man.
Why not 60 FPS videos? Can you explain why you don't like it or why you think it's the wrong frame rate for video? I wanna turn this just to explain why I shoot 30 and not 24. And my hot take is you can go and say 24 FPS is, I'm gonna sound really angry right now, but it's
That's
true.
Fine.
you can say 24 FPS is a correct frame rate, but the only argument anyone has ever made to me about why they shoot 24 FPS or why I should shoot 24 FPS is because the movies do it.
It's cinematic.
And so it's cinematic. It's because the directors do it. And so if you look up why movies shoot 24 FPS and you go back to the beginning of shooting movies and shooting film, you know, we started off with like photos and then moving pictures. And then if you move the pictures fast enough, it looks like movement. Mm-hmm. We landed on 24 FPS, believe it or not, I read this, because that was the lowest amount of frames per second that they thought were a good idea where it could convince your eye that it's real movement and a video and not a series of photos. Mm-hmm. And when I think about that, I kind of believe it. I've seen 15 FPS and I've had cameras that are limited to that and it looks choppy. And then you get to like 24 and then right around there, it's starting to look smooth. And that's true, but that was literally to save money on film, yeah, which was very expensive. And 29 frames per second versus 24 meant you were spending that much more on mm-hmm. every second of video. So now it's 2020. We have the ability to pick whatever frame rate we want and save money. And here's the thing, it could be 30, it could be 35, it could be 31, but I've found that 24 FPS looks choppy to me. Mm-hmm. And when I do motion, which is what I do a lot of in my videos, panning, robot shots, all this stuff, just undoubtedly, you cannot convince me otherwise, looks worse at 24 FPS. And I've shot 24 by accident even sometimes. I think the Elon factory tour, when we had to switch cameras out, we shot that entire thing at 24 FPS and I had it interpolated to 30 FPS because I couldn't stand how choppy it was walking around the factory with the gimbal at 24. So 30 FPS is the correct frame rate only because it's much better looking, and I would accept other off answers like 35 or 38, but 30 is such a good standard because then your audio syncs up and there's a bunch of other standards that work well with it. I don't shoot 60 because I think that starts to look overly smooth and distractingly smooth. Mm-hmm. When your eye is looking for a certain thing, sometimes that works if you're doing game stuff, if you're doing other types of videos, and you can sometimes get away with it in tech, but I think that starts to get distracting. So I think my correct frame rate answer, mm-hmm. I'm basically ranting, is somewhere between 30 and 45 frames per second, but 30 is perfect because cameras will all just do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's preference for you as well, and it's something you've been working in 11 years at
Forever.
This point. So like, I mean, think about when you, like, you go rent a car, no one's saying the car you drive at home is perfect, but you get so used to it after driving it for so many years. Whenever I get a rental car and I'm like driving it out of a city, I feel so uncomfortable because I'm just like not used to how it controls or how I'm like sitting and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm so focused on the road all the time because all I'm thinking about is like, this doesn't feel right. So just imagine now editing and watching all this stuff you just spent filming, and it just looks totally wrong to you. Yeah. It's not wrong. Everyone who does that frame rate or uses that car in their everyday life,
yeah,
it's great for them.
It's great.
But for you, you've been doing this for so long, it would feel so strange to change it at this point.
Yeah, and I every time I say the correct frame rate, I'm obviously poking fun. Like,
there is
no correct frame rate, but like whoever tries to get me to switch to 24 always says the same thing, like, come on man, it's like what the movies use, it's cinematic.
Yeah.
And I'm done with it. I'm putting my foot down on that. So there you have it, 30 FPS for life.
All right, so this kind of fits in with us furnishing the new studio, but someone said, how many IKEA things do you have mounted in the new studio? I'm gonna take out mounted, I think that's just a
IKEA?
But like, how many IKEA things in the new studio?
Right now, none.
Zero.
Not a single IKEA thing.
There's not a lot in the new studio yet.
Yeah. I mean, there's some stuff. We have some crates and some furniture. The only IKEA stuff I actually think we have in this studio is one table and the gear closets, like the cabinets.
Those
that
are pretty
hold
big,
stuff.
Though.
Yeah.
We've gotten some random things here and there. I think a couple lamps and... Maybe... I don't even know if we've gotten any end tables. Some... Fake plants, actually. We may have seen
there,
a couple
plants.
Trees or something.
Yeah, but IKEA is not a huge staple, actually, in our furniture choices. We have a variety of things.
Yeah, we have
there.
One pretty close by, which so it's like nice if we need to really run, but we order a lot of stuff online, surprisingly, which is why we also need more studio space because we just have giant boxes showing up all the time.
So also, that'd be great. As we furnish this space, we want a lot of it to last.
Mm-hmm.
And when I consider IKEA build quality, not always built to last very long. A lot of thin plexiglass and cardboard and things like that. I'm looking for some sturdy stuff. So yeah, might not be full of IKEA, but we'll probably still sneak
some. Yeah, we have to trust some expensive equipment on top of it. So let's hope it doesn't fall over. So somebody said, what are you most excited about in the new studio? Let's not include podcast room there because we've talked about how excited we are for that. But
okay.
Anything else specifically that you're very excited about?
There's just a bunch. I honestly, really, it's the sound. Like when mm-hmm. it comes down to it, like the huge space is awesome. The lights, we're going to get these motorized blackout shades. That's incredible. We're going to have all the sound isolation. That's awesome. We're going to furnish, get all the desks in, conference room, TVs, all the tech, the internet, the scannable door key, like all this crazy stuff that we're just now like getting our feet wet with and planning. But when it comes down to it, every time I shoot videos or every time we record a podcast and I have to sit here and wait for someone pacing back and forth behind the window on the phone
to
finish his phone call so we can continue making what we want to make, it just dries up the creative process and puts a fork in my creativity. So I would really like to not have to deal with that anymore.
Watch we move into the new studio and release like 200 videos next year because we just realize how long we've been delayed from people. Because
it's just
going
to cut the time in half of like having to wait for people. And like people like walk up to the elevator and like have a conversation outside the elevator. And then the elevator opens and they keep talking.
And they don't go in.
And they don't go in because they're so busy talking to each other. And then the elevator door closes and makes a loud closing noise and beeps mm-hmm. and then they go, that's funny, we forgot to get in, and then they call it again and then they wait for it again, and it's just the fact that we can hear all of this stuff, you can hear it in my voice as a bunch of people now come out of the elevator as I rant about them. Mm-hmm. So long story short, I mean there's a ton of tech going in there, and I'm looking forward to it being like the ideal production environment, like studio workspace mm-hmm. is gonna be sweet, but the sound actually being controllable as much as the light is going to be huge for me.
Yeah, I actually think I'm most excited about, and this is more on a like everyday thing for us, is we have like a small kitchen space in our own bathroom that just like,
oh yeah, that too.
We don't have to share it with a bunch of people. I don't use the refrigerator in the shared kitchen space here because I'm just assuming everything would get lost. So we have like a little tiny refrigerator. I'm excited to just have all of that there. That doesn't get you guys hyped at all. So if it's something that you guys are gonna see on video, natural light, we're gonna have a lot of it in the new space. Yeah.
Natural light's the best light.
Yeah, I mean, we've walked into the new space and not even turned the lights on some days because the light's so good coming in these like big windows we have. So that's gonna be really awesome.
Someone asked about, what do you think about new tech YouTubers coming in with good content but not so good video quality? I would say that's way better than the other way around.
Yeah.
Because video quality you can work on, I think much more like, what's the word? You can sort of approach that in a much like more reasonable step-by-step way than making your content better. Like when your content's good and the video quality is not amazing, people will still watch it because it's good ideas and good content and good flow. And then you can eventually up the production value. That's basically what I started with, was like pretty poor production value, but mm-hmm. talking tech, and then you can add that on top later.
Yeah. I mean, as long as the low level quality isn't affecting how you're getting your point across and the stuff you're trying to show on it. Like if your audio is totally not synced or like it's pixelated so bad that you can't tell what's
so
happening.
Bad.
But
okay.
Like, I don't think that's almost even possible to do anymore because we have phones that take good quality video. You have webcams that take good quality video. Like, it's almost impossible to go out and buy a camera that doesn't shoot in at least 1080 at this point. So I will always watch low quote unquote quality that's good and interesting over something could be an 8K and be boring. And I will always pick the quote low quality something.
Pro tip, if you have really low quality video but invest in a pretty decent quality microphone, that's going to make a bigger difference off the bat than trying to get your lighting and your camera equipment and all the sets set up. Just a better mic, you can get away with a lot more. Fun fact.
Yeah, no one likes anything screeching in your ears when you're trying to listen to it, or choppy or feedback or anything. All right, I have one.
Okay.
All right, any tips for beginning photographer, just bought myself my first camera for a new hobby.
Oh, just like the vanilla, like, I'm a new photographer, what should I try to do?
Yeah, let's assume that this is, and I don't want to assume, but let's assume this is like a DSLR that has your average like ISO, shutter speed.
T2i.
Yeah, the T2i. Let's go back to our days where we both had a T2i,
yeah,
and how we progressed with it.
So you get the kit lens, really, mm-hmm, and that's where you learn the most about the limitations of your lens and what you want to be able to do. Is it close focus? Do you want to do a lot of macro stuff? Is it not wide enough? Is it not fast enough? Do you have a lot of like lower light stuff you want to shoot? That's a lot of where you'll figure out like what type of photography you really like doing. Mm-hmm. And then you make your next lens purchase based on that. And then you get to switch back and forth between those two lenses and just learn a ton.
Yeah. Shoot a lot.
Yeah, that's what I learned. So I started with the 18 to 35 that came with the T2i. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's fine for video, but on a crop lens or a crop sensor, you know, 35 doesn't really get that tight. The minimum focus isn't so great. It's also, I think, at f3.5 wide open. So my next lens, and I put it on my Christmas wish list, and I got it from Santa Claus, was the $99 Nifty 50, 50mm f1.8. And that lens was incredible to have, because right, then now like I can get shallow depth of field, I can get close focus, I can get these tight macro shots, and like that like opened up a whole world for me. So yeah, I think just really using it as much as possible and learning like what really makes it, yeah, fun for you, and then doubling down on that.
Yeah, I would say also like just shoot a lot and understand how to fix your exposure and what all those different aspects do, because exposure isn't just like the perfect lighting. Exposure, the ways you change the exposure to get that perfect lighting, can also change how you're taking a picture, depending on like shutter speed and aperture and stuff like that. So try and learn the ins and outs of all of that before you really get too deep or you go spending thousands of dollars on 8 different lenses. Like, you need to understand the cores of taking a picture, and there's so many good resources out there to find all that out now.
A lot on YouTube too.
Yeah, YouTube's great. There's just like tutorial websites online. But like Marquez said, find out what you like shooting. Another thing would be go on Instagram and follow people who shoot stuff similar to that. Yeah. And then next time you're out, I like nature stuff, I follow a bunch of nature photography stuff. So when I go out, I'm now looking for a way to replicate something like that, and I can learn how to make that better for me. And by working towards trying to make it better or trying to replicate something, you just learn so much in the process of doing that.
Yeah. All right. Last one.
Cool.
So you're stuck on an island and can only take 3 tech things.
Okay.
What are those things? And I'm going to ban a smartphone from that list, so you can't like call home.
I don't know if I would even do a smartphone, because I'm assuming on the island. Wait. Okay. Can we charge things on the island? Or is that one of the tech things that you should bring?
That's gotta be one of the tech things, yeah. It's just, you're on it like literally like an empty, like 50, like the size of this studio, just okay, an island in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, I don't think I'd pick a phone because there'd be no service anyways. So it'd be pretty useless for me.
Typically with these questions, I'm trying to like hack my way into an answer that will get me saved from the island.
A submarine.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking like, can I get a boat?
Yeah.
But if I'm just trying to like, I guess, stay sane,
yeah,
that's like what you'd use.
Okay, yeah, for? We're staying sane and assuming rescue is coming eventually. You just have to not lose your mind by the time rescue gets there.
Okay, so a solar powered grill. Is that a good idea?
That is, I didn't think of that, and now I want 3 of those as my 3 items.
That's my, that's an item for me. Uh-huh. Let me get, you're right, there's probably no internet, so what good is any internet connected mm-hmm. thing? Wow, I guess I'd take like a, it's not even like tech, just like something to fidget with, like probably just like a Galaxy Fold or something to like open and close a bunch until sand gets in it and it destroys it. I'd probably have something like that.
What about like a like an iPod Touch with like 500 movies downloaded on it already?
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
That's
too.
That's probably your but best like bet for like entertainment.
But if you have something like
or
that, you need
an iPad.
If you have an iPad, you got to charge it, and that's your third item, right? So like a solar powered battery bank.
Solar powered would be huge, yeah.
Yeah, to keep it powered. So yeah, the 3 items would be solar powered grill.
Okay.
Something to fidget with. that also happens to have 500 movies preloaded on it, and then a battery-powered, solar-powered battery that can charge stuff.
This is the scenario where those weird tech things that can do 8 different things in one actually make sense because you're limited items, but that is also the only scenario which those make sense, so let's stop making like Kickstarter pages of a tech thing that can solve 8
solar
different problems.
Solar-powered grill with a cooler in it that also has a plug and a battery sticking out. Boom. Bingo. That's not real, but if it is Kickstarter, I'm coming for you.
Oh, man. I feel like we really just didn't take that question seriously, but...
No, yeah. I did. That's 100% what I would take to the island.
All right, we're next video, dropping Marquez off on an island with
those three things. Sick.
Mr. Beast, we're ready. Let's do it.
That's been it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Waveform. All the stuff we talked about in these couple of stories will be in the show notes. So if you want to check those out, the links, the Twitter, the Instagram, everything we mentioned. And we'll catch you guys in the next couple of weeks. Peace.
Waveform's brought to you by Studio 71, and our intro outro music is created by Cameron Barlow.